Kellogg's Sister, Rochester, New York, December 5, 1853. Dear Sister Kellogg, we received your very kind letter in due time and designed answering it before, but have been quite sick. Took cold in my face and head, and suffered much with the teethache and ague in my face. I tried to continue my writing, which weakened my nerves, and it seemed at times I should be distracted. I suffered for about 1 week. Nothing seemed to give me relief. Last Thursday eve, the family bore my case to the great physician, and I tried to have faith for myself and was immediately healed. The glory of the Lord shone about us, and we all rejoiced and triumphed in God for his unbounded goodness to us. All in the room were blessed and shouted the praise of God. Dear sister, I have much that I might write you, but have so much to write to different individuals. But I will give you a sketch of the vision I had at our last conference. At our last conference, I was shown in vision the backwardness of some in our meetings. Some held back because they had nothing new to say and must repeat the same story. I saw that pride was at the bottom of this, that God and angels witnessed the testimonies that were born, and God was well pleased and glorified by the testimonies of all his humble children. I saw that God and his angels admired simplicity and humility. I saw that God had been displeased, and angels grieved that heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus should suffer precious time to run to waste, while the saints sit still, saying nothing in favor of God and the truth. I saw that if the brethren and sisters were in the place they had ought to be in, they would not be at a loss to find something to say in honor of Jesus, who hung upon Calvary's cross for their sins. If they would cherish more of a realizing sense of the condescension of God in giving his only beloved Son to die a sacrifice for our sins and transgressions, and the sufferings and anguish of Jesus to make a way of escape for guilty man, that he might receive pardon and live, they would be more ready to magnify and extol Jesus. They could not hold their peace, but with thankfulness and gratitude would talk of his glory and tell of his power, and blessings from God would rest upon them for so doing. Even if the same story was repeated, God was glorified by it. The angel of God showed me those who rest not day nor night, crying, "Holy, holy Lord God Almighty." Continual repetition, said the angel, yet God is glorified by it. And although we tell the same story over and over, it honors God, and shows that we are not unmindful of him, or his goodness and mercies to us. I saw the nominal churches had fallen, coldness and death reigned in their midst. God gave them his word to humble them if they had followed his teachings. But they got above the work. It was too humbling for them to repeat the same simple story when they met together. They tried to get something new and great, and studied how they could please men and have their words exact to their ear, and God's Spirit left them. For instead of praying and talking to God, they prayed and talked to man. I saw that when we followed in the humble way, we should have the movings of the Spirit of God, and there would be no jargon. All would be in sweet harmony, and we should not be in danger if we followed the humble channel of truth depending wholly upon God, of the evil angels taking possession of us and affecting us at all. It is when we get above the Spirit of God, moving in our own strength, that the angels of God cease watching over us, and we are left to the buffetings of Satan. I saw that duties were laid upon us in God's word to be performed to keep us humble and separate from the world, and from backsliding like the nominal churches. Washing feet and the Lord's Supper should be more frequently practiced by us. Jesus set us the example and told us to do as he had done to us. I saw that the example of Christ should be as exactly followed as possible. Yet brethren and sisters have not always moved as judiciously as they should in washing feet, and confusion has been caused. I saw that the messengers of God must be careful how they introduce this duty. I saw that no example was given us in God's word for the brethren to wash the sisters' feet, but there was an example of the sisters washing their brethren's feet. Mary washed the Savior's feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Also the widow who is mentioned. If she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet. I saw that God had moved upon the sisters to wash the brethren's feet, and it was according to the gospel order, and would glorify God when he laid this cross upon them, and it would humble the one that performed it. All, I saw, should move in this thing understandingly, and not make the washing of feet a tedious ceremony.
Dear sister, it is almost dark, and I can write but a few words more. Hope you and your dear children are prospering in the Lord. Tell them to live humble, close to the bleeding side of Jesus. Tell them to pray much and subdue all pride and selfishness and live wholly for God. Much love to them and your husband and self. We received your donation. Thank you for it. We'll try to use it to the glory of God. Husband did not know but that the money might be credited to the paper. Did not know but some, like Brother Case, might say that money had been sent in that had been made no account of. I did not know, as all understood, that any present sent to me was not credited in the paper. How do you understand it? Tell Sister C. Smith I thank her for her present. Much love to her and all that family. Also, all the brethren and sisters. Pray for us. We are quite well, except Lumen. We are believing for him. E. G. White. Tell the brethren and sisters to write us, and for the instructor. That little paper will come out soon, if the friends send in matter. Tell all to be interested, and write for the instructor if they want it. Write us often. In love.